May be seated. Please turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Be reading verses 1 through 6, and we'll be considering again this morning verses 3 and 4 on the general theme of the beauty of holiness. Let's give our attention to the reading of God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of clothing. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a quiet or a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray that as we come to your word this morning, you would speak to us. Lord, we pray that our hearts would be open to receive your word. And so, O God, we beg you to work in us by your Holy Spirit, making us willing to hear, making us willing to obey. This is your word, Lord, and we pray that your Spirit would bless the reading of it and now the preaching of it to your glory and to the sanctification of your people. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our calling as Christians is to be heavenly minded. And yet the call of our culture is to live only and exclusively for the here and now. Nowhere is that contrast more evident than in the arena of fashion, in the standards of beauty, and in the constant bombardment of the entertainment media trying to form our thoughts and our sentiments on what is beautiful. It's also very evident that the church, rather than being transformed by the renewing of her mind, the church is being conformed more and more to the tastes and standards of the world. The Word of God calls us to put the premium on inner, eternal beauty. Our culture and the world calls us to put the premium on external, temporal beauty. It's therefore evident and very clear that the issue of beauty is an important issue for the church. It's an important issue for individual Christians. In fact, it's clear as the context and the explicit statements here in 1 Peter show us, this issue of beauty and adornment is vital to our walk and our witness in this world. And so this morning we're taking a second look at the subject of the beauty of holiness. We focused last time on the external temporal beauty. There is a reality to external temporal beauty. There is a place for that. But Peter is here drawing our attention to internal, eternal beauty. Let's consider first this idea of our adorning. Peter says here, do not let your adorning be external. The braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, and the putting on of clothing. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart. Obviously, adornment is an important part of the passage before us. It's a clear and prominent issue in what Peter is saying here. And Peter is giving us here a clear contrast between true and false adornment, between what it should be and what it should not be. Now, we noted last time that adorning refers to something specific. Adorning refers to the focus of attention for your attractiveness. Adorning is the focus of attention for your attractiveness. It's the thing that you use to make yourself beautiful to others. Why are people attracted to you? What is it that causes them to take notice of you? That is what an adornment is. It's the focus of attention. It's the thing that people find attractive in you. Well, Peter is saying clearly here, do not let your attractiveness be centered on the external temporal things. Don't let that be the thing that people are drawn to you for. In other words, don't be known for your jewelry. Don't be known for your clothing. Don't be known for your hairdos. Now, we noted last time that this does not mean that we're to be careless about jewelry and clothing and hairdos, but rather we're being called to not let our adorning, in other words, that which causes others to take notice of us, don't let that thing that other people are attracted to in us be those external things. You see, the world is calling us to have our adorning be the external things. You are what you drive. You have to have the latest hairdo, if you have hair. You have to have the latest style in clothes. You need to spend your time and your money on the beautification of the outside because that's what people see and that's what matters in life. You see, all of this matters to the world precisely because the world is the world. In other words, their affections are carnal. The world's affections can never rise above the temporal because the world is temporal. The world's passing away and therefore all it knows is temporalness. The world's values can only be calculated in light of temporal gratification. This is it. There's nothing beyond this. There's nothing beyond the grave. There's nothing beyond the flesh. And therefore, all that the world can possibly do in the realm of beauty is to adorn the outside, to try to make all of this temporal stuff look better. In fact, it's not even a choice of the world. This isn't a conscious choice that the world is making. It's a compulsion. It's a necessity. It flows from the world's very nature. It's actually a bondage. It can do no other. In other words, the way that the world adorns itself is a manifestation of the world's understanding of reality. It's a manifestation of the true heart condition of the world. It's a manifestation of the operating principle. It's a manifestation of their future destiny. This is it. But you see, opposed to the world's bondage, Peter is preaching here bondage or servanthood to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, as the Word of God, is calling you to have your adorning be the internal things of the heart. You're to be completely different. You are not what you drive. You do not have to have the latest clothing style. You do not have to have the latest hairdo. You see, we must show by the very things that adorn us where our affections are. We need to show by our adornment that which people are attracted to in us, that we are different people. We are people from a heavenly realm. In fact, the world's love affair with the temporal is a compulsion for them. God is calling us to have our love affair with eternity be a compulsion for us. The fact that we are going to heaven is to manifest itself in our lives. It's to become the thing that naturally drives everything in our life, and therefore the way that we look even, the root of our beauty, the attractiveness in our lives will flow from something completely different. It's not a matter of our adorning should manifest our true heart condition and our true affections. In fact, our adorning will manifest that. You can confess whatever you want with your mouth, where your affections are, there will your heart be also. You see, our adorning does manifest the truth about us. The world is what it is and does what it does precisely because of who it is. We are to do what we do and be what we are precisely because of who we are. Are we heavenly people? Or are we people bound to this earth? Is there no difference in our lives? If there's no difference in our lives than the lives of the world, then we have no right to profess that we are somehow different than them. Let's consider our attributes. I want you to notice here that Peter articulates our adornment in terms of attributes and not clothing. In other words, he doesn't say, don't dress like the world, dress like this. That's not the contrast. He says the world's adorning is external, yours is to be internal. The world's adorning is temporal things, yours is to be the very attributes of your life. This is instructive, I think, in two ways that Peter is talking about attributes, not clothing here. First, it confirms that our concern is to be internal and not external. It confirms that we should flee the slavery of fashion and trends. We should realize that true beauty cannot be put on, but it's an issue that comes from within, and it should cause us to seek the one who can actually adorn us with the beauty of holiness. That is, we should seek Jesus Christ and His Spirit. But the fact that Peter articulates adornment in terms of attributes and not clothing is also important because it keeps us from making a mistake the other way. Many think that godliness can be had by following a certain exterior rule, that it can be had by following a certain dress code. In other words, we run from one extreme to the other. We say, well, the world's styles are sinful, and so we'll construct for ourselves holy styles of clothing. We start measuring the length of things and saying, you can wear this, but you can't wear that. You see, the one is licentiousness. The other is legalism. Peter is saying it's not about clothing. You're not going to be holy merely by what you wear, whether it's conservative or liberal. The issue in the Bible, the rule of attire throughout Scripture is appropriateness. Appropriateness is the standard. And that standard is discerned by wisdom, not a changing rule. Wisdom is what drives the way a Christian dresses and would use external adornment. You see, we are so accustomed, actually unaccustomed, to actually seeking God for wisdom each moment of each day. We are so unaccustomed of seeking the wisdom of God for each decision, for each circumstance, for each issue in our life. Church, we need to get to a place where we recognize that God would have us dependent upon Him, not upon a cultural rule. It is so much easier to say, tell me the length of the skirt. Tell me the length that my hair needs to be. That will help. I can do that. But you see, a monkey can do that. Anybody, an unbeliever, can conform to an external rule. What the world can't do and what we need God for is to have wisdom, to know how to dress appropriately. The rule of external adornment is wear what is wise. Wear what is wise. See, you will ultimately answer to God for what you wear, what you decide to wear, what you decide not to wear. And thus, you need to seek Him for the discernment of His will on the matter. Now, lest you think that I am somehow encouraging you to drift into the murky waters of some arbitrary feeling as to what is wise. Well, I think that this might be wise or that might be wise. Let me give you some basic rules of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The more you seek after the knowledge of God as He has revealed Himself in His Word, as God has revealed Himself in His Word, the more you will be found in the way of wisdom. If you will seek God, if you will seek Him as He's revealed Himself in His Word, you will be found in the way of wisdom. A second principle of wisdom is that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are lodged in Christ. God has deliberately poured everything into Jesus Christ, and therefore the more that you seek Christ by faith, who was made to us the wisdom of God, the more that you seek that, you will discern His will in all areas of life, not just appropriateness and clothing. And finally, wisdom is a work of the Holy Spirit. Wisdom is promised to all who seek it. And therefore, you are not to waste your time fretting about what to wear. You are to seek wisdom. You are to waste your time seeking wisdom. It's a promise to all that will seek it. Let me give you a practical example, though, of wisdom in action in this entire regard of dressing. A young Christian lady is preparing for the Lord's Day. She considers the fact that she will be going to church to worship God. In other words, she recognizes that she is not going to the mall. She's not going to school. She's not going to the soccer field or wherever. Her main concern is that she is going to be with the people of God and she is going to be in the special presence of God Himself as she goes to worship with the congregation. And therefore she asks herself, are the clothes that I'm considering, are the jewelry that I'm considering, is the hairstyle that I'm considering, is this appropriate for going to church? She remembers what the Word of God says about adornment. That it's more important that we need to concentrate and put the premium on the internal. She remembers that she is to be a witness to the world, and what she wears tells the world something about her. She remembers that she is to focus on God, and that she has an obligation to help everyone else around her focus on God as well. That's an obligation on her as she comes to worship. And thus, she decides to dress in a manner that will not draw inappropriate attention to herself, or frankly, to parts of herself. And thus, she decides to dress appropriately. A young Christian woman will ask her parents whether they think that her choice of clothing is wise for the Lord's Day. She will ask herself, am I doing unto others as I would have them do unto me? She asks her God, will you bless this decision and what I've decided to wear today for your glory and your honor? The Bible calls us to wear what is wise, what is appropriate for the circumstance. And we are to ask and seek wisdom from the one who alone is wise for that. Let me turn our attention, though, back to Peter here and his concern that it is character. Beauty is an issue of character. Don't let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of clothing, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Peter makes three critical points here. Our adorning should be the hidden person of the heart. Number one. Number two, our adorning should be imperishable beauty. And number three, that our adorning should be a gentle and quiet spirit. Let's consider the first, the hidden person of the heart. Inner beauty is the key to biblical adornment. Inner beauty is the key to biblical adornment. Peter's use of words here is to direct us to the internal matters of the heart and character. Inner beauty is that which is ultimately not seen with the eye. But we need to be careful here. It's not seen with the eye in the sense of its root, but the manifestations are always discernible on the exterior. The whole issue of beauty is much like the issue of faith. You can't see faith, but you can see its fruits. You cannot see that root of inner beauty in a person, but you can see how it manifests itself in the talk and the wear of the person. You see, we can't judge another person's heart, but we can see their actions, we can hear their words, and that tells us much of their heart. What is going on in the heart? Peter's point and Peter's concern is that we concentrate on the hidden person of the heart. That's the root from where beauty must flow. This second phrase here, imperishable beauty. This word imperishable is a fascinating word. It's an adjective or a descriptive word. You know, this word is never used of anything except that which is heavenly. In other words, this word is used exclusively in the Bible to indicate that which is an attribute of heaven, that which is from the eternal realm. Imperishable is a characteristic of eternity. It has to do with things that attend to eternity. And thus, the characteristics that are being spoken of here, the kind of beauty that is being described here, is the fruit of the eternal Spirit of God. That's the kind of beauty that Peter is saying, this is what you need to adorn yourself with. This eternal, imperishable beauty, which is a commodity of heaven, actually. You see, this is not merely an external conformity to the law. It's not some kind of outward standard, whether we define it as conservative or liberal. This is really and truly Spirit-wrought fruits in a person's life. That's what this is. This is participating in heaven. This is actually beginning to live like that which we will be for eternity when the Christian begins to manifest the very life of heaven in their life. That's imperishable beauty. That's the imperishable beauty, the hidden person of the heart, the work of the Holy Spirit. Finally, Peter describes this character as a gentle and quiet spirit. This inner person of the heart, this imperishable beauty, is that of a gentle and quiet spirit. The word gentle here is the same word that is also often translated in the Bible, meek. Just like we have in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." In the Bible, this idea of gentleness or meekness describes those who are relying on God rather than on their own strength to defend them from injustice. Those who are meek in the Bible are those who are relying upon God to defend them against injustice, and thus meekness and gentleness toward evil people. And much like what the context is here, even if a woman has an unbelieving husband, meekness and gentleness towards evil people means knowing that God is permitting whatever the circumstance might be. That within God's will, this infliction is happening. That He is using this to purify His elect. And ultimately, He will deliver His people. Someone who is meek is not self-assertive. They're not dealing with self-interests. The gentle person, the meek person, is not occupied with their self at all. You see, this is a work of the Holy Spirit, not of the human will. This is a great contrast with the external. External temporal adornment is all about me. I need to make me look better. This idea of meekness is all about I'm going to rely upon and trust in God. That's what gentle, meek is all about. This word quiet here, the word quiet means tranquil. It does not mean silent. In fact, when Peter alludes to Sarah as a perfect example of this kind of beauty, this kind of meek and quiet beauty, Sarah was not silent. Sarah often talked with her husband. She often urged him to do certain things. It doesn't mean silent, it means tranquil. It's the same word that's found in 1 Timothy 2:2, where the church is called to pray for the government so that we can live a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. We want tranquility, peacefulness. You see, this is what Peter says is beautiful. This is beauty. Gentle and peaceful people. That's beautiful, not loud and boisterous people. This is the kind of character that God is seeking to develop within us by His Spirit. Women, do you hear and can you see what God is calling you to? Do you see what true beauty is? You see, the world is calling you to a different standard of beauty. The world says it is beautiful to assert yourself. The world tells you, women, that it's beautiful and attractive to be contentious. That it's actually attractive to men for you to be in their face. To be sort of an in-your-face kind of a person. You see, God says, that's ugly. God says, that's just the opposite of what is beautiful. That is ugly. You see, God is calling you to beauty. Beauty comes from within. Beauty is quantified by the character, not by the external. And specifically, the qualities of beauty are said to be meekness, gentleness, quietness, tranquility. Some of you say, well, that's not my personality. Guess what? If that's not your personality, you've got a problem. Because that's what beauty is. It is not an issue of saying, that's not me. If that's not me, you need the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. You don't just sit in your ugliness. God desires to make you beautiful. And part of beauty is quiet, gentle, meek. Those are fruits of the Spirit. That is the character of many of you. There are many beautiful women in this church. Others of you have need to change. You need to repent. You need to seek the beauty of holiness, which is a work of the Spirit of holiness. Men and boys, these are not girly characteristics. The beauty of holiness is not a thing for girls and women. You see, this is a call of God upon every one of our lives. Peter just happens to be talking about wives and their submission to husbands right now. But the beauty of holiness is something that everybody is to be adorned with. Every Christian, male or female. In fact, the attributes listed here, quiet and gentle, are actually attributed to Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself describes Himself as meek and lowly. Moses, who led the children of Egypt, or children of Israel, out of Egypt. He describes himself, interestingly enough, as the meekest man in all the earth. He wrote that about himself. The meek will inherit the earth. The meek will be protected and vindicated by God. Meekness, quietness, gentleness is not weakness. It's a call to entrust yourself to the God who judges justly. It's exactly what is described of Jesus Christ. Right up here in verse 23, when He went through all of that suffering for our redemption, it says He did so by entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly. That is what meekness is. That's the definition of it. You see, this is a call for all of us to forsake the world, to forsake the world's standards, and to submit ourselves to the beautifying work of the Holy Spirit. It's a call to be transformed into the image and likeness of God. That is what beauty is. And every saint, male or female, is called to that. This is something that the world longs for. The world knows nothing. They do not know how to get this kind of beauty. We have the secret. This beauty flows from Jesus Christ. It's a work of His Spirit. It's what God has desired of us to live out in this world. It becomes an attractive thing to the world. It's what the saints should put the premium on. But there is an even more important audience that we are called to be beautiful for, and that is God Himself. Notice what Peter says here. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of clothing, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Which in God's sight is very precious. You see, we've talked about appropriateness in our clothing. We've talked about being wise in what we wear. We've seen that true beauty comes from within and is essentially an issue of character. But the main concern on everybody's mind when it comes to beauty should be whether or not, am I pleasing to God? Am I beautiful to Him? Who are you trying to please? There are many of you who have absolutely no regard for pleasing the Lord. And it's manifested in your lives in a variety of ways. Some of you show your utter disregard for pleasing the Lord in the way that you adorn yourself. You come to church to be looked at by others. You dress to impress not God, but men. You live completely contrary to what Peter says here, and instead of focusing on the internal, eternal beauty of a quiet and gentle spirit, you focus everybody else's attention on your hair or your jewelry or your clothing. It's exactly the opposite of what Peter is saying here. And it's exactly in line with the world's call. Brothers and sisters, these things should not be. You need to flee the world's standards. You need to come out from among it and be separate. Don't love the world or the things in it. There's others of you there here this morning. And you're sitting there and you are all self-righteous. Because you think that since you show a particular disregard for the external, which is often nothing more than sinful laziness on your part, it's an inappropriateness fallen the other way. But there's many of you that are sitting there because you tend to show a disregard for these things. You think that you are somehow more holy and righteous than your neighbor who seems to show more concern in their life than you do. But the fact is each time you go home and you shut your doors, you manifest that you are a sham as well. Oh, you might dress conservative. You might dress yourself appropriate. You'll put on a pretense of religion. You'll put on a pretense of holiness in front of men. But what you do in there is all you care about is your own reputation. What you care about is your own position and your own relationship to men. But as soon as the eye of man is off of you, your true life begins to be manifested. Your heart is seen in your home where no one else is. This facade of religion that you have constructed for yourself cannot hide your ugly heart. Who are you seeking to please? In the basic patterns of your life, you reveal the answer to that question. Whether you show it clearly and publicly by your inappropriate external adornment, or whether you are more secret in your sins, both ways show that you have a disregard for the eye of God, and you are not inclined to please Him. Brothers and sisters, God has called you to the beauty of holiness. God is pleased with Himself. God is pleased with His own character. God desires to adorn you with the beauty of His own attributes. A beauty that will never pass away. A beauty that the world can seek and desire and ask about. Another question, though, is what is pleasing to you? If the beauty of holiness is true beauty, then we need to examine what we think is beautiful as well. Just as our culture puts pressure upon us to adorn ourselves with what it says is beautiful, our culture is also trying to train us. It's trying to pervert our minds and the way that we see things And it's trying to conform us to desire its standards of beauty. Many a Christian woman has become inappropriate in her external adornment because she was seeking to please the unrighteous desires of her husband who has succumbed to the world's standards. Men, you need to repent. Many of you have scarred your mind with images of the world's trash. And instead of seeking the transformation and the cleansing of your minds, you are seeking to transform your wives into the images of your perversion. Young men, you need to be very careful. Do not seek the enticing images of the adulteress, but pray that God will sanctify your mind and He will protect you, and that your desires and what you value as beautiful will truly be biblical beauty. Beauty that is from the inner heart, the hidden person, the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she will be praised. You need to seek a beauty that will last beyond the early years of marriage. Your relationships need to be based on something more than just skin deep. God needs to be your audience. God needs to be the one that you seek to be beautiful to. God's desires need to become your desires. God's standards need to become your standards. God's beauty needs to become the beauty that you desire both in yourself and in others. May God sanctify us. May He cleanse our hearts and our minds, and may He give us a thirst and a desire for that which is truly beautiful. The beauty of holiness, which is a work of His Spirit. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that You would help us do everything we can to avail ourselves to the beautifying work of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray You would place Christ before us, that You would open our eyes to see the beauty of that one, that we would be drawn to Him and desire to be conformed into His image and likeness. Lord, work in our hearts, make Him beautiful to us, and make others that He is within beautiful to us. May we seek what pleases You and desire to be pleasing to You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.